You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Balvano's fight against cancer.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Monday night masterpiece. How Bill turned a 3-club win into first place in the entire AFC. Meanwhile, trouble. No breathing room for the boys. Is this season about to become their biggest disappointment ever? Plus, just how good is Bryce Young? Wait till you hear one comparison that suggests he could be as good as anybody ever. All those and more as we get up with you starting right now. It's a Tuesday and we're delighted you're there. Graziano's ready. Foxworth's ready. I've never seen Jeff Saturday in my entire life. And the big swagoo Marcus Spears is along. The regular Tuesday crew as we come off one of the most interesting Monday night games you will ever see. And by interesting, I mean hideous. Oh, the weather in Buffalo last night. An enormous factor. Mac Jones looking to strike early. And by that, I mean looking to hand the ball off a lot. And in this case, to Damian Harris. How does this one go 64 yards, Jeff?
Toss, crack, weak. Harris does a great job of setting up his blocks. He's a safety over pursuit. Cuts that thing back. Great blocking up front. Even the receivers, Harry was involved. But that's what I'm talking about.
And with that wind blowing like that, Bill says I can't kick an extra point. So they're going for two and they get it, Jeff.
Does that play look familiar? It is, because it's the exact same play. Now we're up 8. That's what I'm talking about, Patriots.
And so Belichick has everything going his way. So, Neek, all you need to do is not make a huge mistake.
Yeah, you got to have the returner get away from the ball right here. There's nothing to be gained by standing there. You run forward, yell fire, make sure no one else is there. Mistakes.
It's N'Keal Harry. They don't originally rule that it touched him, but then any question that hit his face mask?
Yeah, you can see the ball change direction. It definitely
hit his face. There's a lot of wind one way or another. The Bills get it. First play, 14 yards. Boom. Gabriel Davis.
120 mile an hour fastball. Are you serious? Look at that speed.
8-7 is the score. Following Patriots drive. That's the only throw.
Oh, yeah. We're not throwing it anymore. Rest of the game, we're not putting it in that kid's hands one more time.
That's Jonnu Smith with a great catch. And the only pass that Mac Jones would throw in the first half. Then it's Bolden for a 16-yard run. That would lead to a Nick Folk field goal. Patriots up 11-7 at the half. Third quarter, same score. 3rd and 7, Bills. Josh Allen, you're going to see him run for a first down, and they're going to call unnecessary roughness on the end of this play here. Neek, is this a good call?
No, it's not a good call. I mean, we are trying to protect the quarterbacks, but you still have a job to do. When he's in the air, he is not touchdown out of bounds yet. You're trying to keep him getting the first down. It's a bad call.
What do you think, Jeff?
Absolute trash. He's extending the ball, trying to get the first. Like, what's the defense got? Just watch him get the first down?
It would lead to a field goal. 11-10 is the score. Fourth quarter, it's 14-10. Look at Josh Allen run.
Wheels. Listen, Josh Allen did everything he could to win that game last night. Just showing you right there, running up the middle, making plays. That's a big-bodied human being.
On this drive now, here comes the pressure. Allen's going to trip over a teammate, and eventually Judon takes him down.
Yeah, listen, the Patriots did a great job of staying disciplined in their lanes and their rushes. You see Judon get the sack after he falls.
So we got to try a 33-yard field goal. In golf, is that a fade?
That is a slice.
It's a slice. It's a wind-aided slice. 14-10, still the score. Patriots would punt. Allen, another chance. Look at him zipping that through the wind. Stephon Diggs, little toe tap on the sideline. So they're moving the ball. Later in the drive, here's your ball game. 3rd and 14, Neek. How about the defense?
Yeah, the defense was special right here. They pushed him back even deeper. Stay on Josh Allen. And you got to stick to those guys. Plaster in the end zone. Make a big play right there.
That's great coverage by Adrian Phillips on the tight end, Dawson Knox. So here's your ball game. 4th and 14. You bring pressure?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You don't want to give him time, but he still finds a way to find an open receiver. That defensive back right there stepping back into the lane, getting off of his guy in zero coverage. It's outstanding.
It is Bryant who knocks it down, and it's the Patriots who hold on to win it. 14-10. What a night.
Just a crazy game to be a part of, but we knew if we didn't turn the ball over, we'd be good. So it was just a weird day, but at the end of the day, you just get more points than the other team, and it's a great day.
Just hats off to the offense, really. Everybody.
probably besides Mac. He really ain't do nothing besides hand the ball off. But,
Oh, my crew loves it. And we got laughter on the set. He might have handed the ball off the entire game, but the Belichick game plan worked to perfection. They ran it 94% of the time, 46 rushes, 3 passes. They were so committed to the run, 61% of their offensive plays had extra offensive linemen on the field. And so, normally on these Tuesdays, I'd like to come to Marcus first and give him a crack off the highlight, but we must begin with the happiest man in America. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
It was glorious! All of you behold beauty at its greatest and finest. Quarterback should be seen, not heard. We talk about it being the most important position in football. Not so fast. We now see truth, and it is beauty.
I'm so happy, so good.
Did they throw the ball 3 times?
Like that?
It was 3 wasted plays. 3 wasted plays. And all, let's be honest.
Our entire meeting was this, for in case anyone is wondering. Marcus, what do we say coming out of a game in which the Patriots threw the ball 3 times and took over first place in the entire AFC as a result?
Well, being a former defensive lineman, I feel nothing like Jeff Saturday this morning. I watched the Buffalo Bills get ran through time after time. The worst feeling in the world in football is when you know what a team is doing and you can't do a damn thing about it. Later on in the game, Sean McDermott made an adjustment and started sending Matt Milano through the gaps. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that he would start doing that in the first, because when teams are lining up with 10 people at the line of scrimmage, it's time to play downhill. But what this says to me is the New England Patriots are clearly the best team in the AFC, because this is more of an impressive win than they've had all season long. Fellas, make no mistake about it. We just showed the stat about how much they were going to run the football. When you beat the Buffalo Bills, and not only that, but to allow the Buffalo Bills to get in the red area twice and you give up 0 points, the New England Patriots are the best team in the AFC. I've been waiting to say it, and finally it's here. Because when you know a team running it and you can't do nothing about it, sir.
Such an unusual night in so many ways. And you were making the point earlier, too. It also speaks to the dynamics between the two franchises.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills are the little brother. Like, we all thought that they were getting better and they were going to take on this division and Josh Allen was going to be the reason. And maybe in different conditions, maybe that happens. But last night we saw there's no scheme for that. When the big brother says, this is what we're going to do, and they do it, and you can't do anything about it. That's kind of how it looked last night. And it's frustrating and disappointing. And maybe under different circumstances, the outcome be different. But we saw last night as one team smashed the other team and they couldn't do anything about it.
You know, Dan, you've been around the Patriots a lot this year. How did that, with that thought in mind, how did that inform what we saw last night?
Well, it's just, there's so much here. Like, Belichick is so game plan week to week specific, right? Like, he obviously knew the weather forecast and it was going to be windy. When Belichick gets off the bus at a road game, he doesn't go to the locker room. He goes out to the field. He and his son go out to the field and they talk. And I'm assuming that when they're out in that field last night, they're looking around going, ooh, this is actually worse than we thought. We were going to throw it 10 times. Let's cut that down to 3, right? Yeah. Like that. So I think you have Belichick designing, but he's able to do this because he has a team that he knows the formula travels, right? His big guys are better than the other team's big guys, whichever line it is, offensive line or defensive line. So we're going to control the trenches. We're going to be able to run the ball. We want to run heavy game plan. We know we can succeed doing that. And I think that's why he's so enjoying himself this year. This has come together in his mold.
You know what I think happened was he turned to his son, and his son Steve said to him, Dad, in Monday Countdown, Schefter got blown out of a chair. the wind actually blew Adam Schefter out of a chair.
And it's blowing said, Steve's mullet around.
And Bill said, we're not throwing the ball. Yeah. I want to ask Jeff a serious and impossible to answer granted question. Some games are just decided by the weather. Like, obviously, the game was completely a unique event last night because of the weather. Is there any way to gauge if that game is played under different circumstances, if it would be different? They're going to play each other again in New England
in a couple of weeks. This game is worse for the Bills if it's in better weather. And I'm just telling you, like, everybody acts like this thing was all because of 40-mile-an-hour wind. Don't believe the hype. Listen, they took Mac Jones basically out of the game because of the weather. If you can run the ball the way the Patriots did against the Bills and dictate to them – this is what we're going to do. We're going to line up six offensive linemen. We're going to come at you here. We're going to run power. We're going to run toss crack. And by the way, now we'll sprinkle in some play action pass. Now that offense opens even more. I like their game plan, the mentality they had, but don't believe this is just a weather game for the Bills. The Bills had this against Jacksonville, against the Colts, against the Titans. They have not answered the call when it comes to physical football teams. The Patriots are that team. Don't believe just because of the weather, the Patriots look this good.
I mean, to the point, I mean, they gifted the Bills the 7 points off of the N'Keal Harry play. Outside of that, they only gave up a field goal last night. So, Marcus, do we take away more about the Patriots or about Buffalo coming out of last night's game? Like you said, this makes the Patriots the best team. Why does it make the Bills?
It makes the Bills not the best team in their division. Okay, listen, Jeff just said, this is very important because I love the fact that we have an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. That is demoralizing.
Yes.
You know when the Buffalo Bills get back in their film room, they're going to look at it and the coach is going to talk about fits up front. They're going to say, guys, we got to be here in the right place. We got to make a tackle. But there ain't no answer for when people running through your face mask. And that's what was happening. Three running backs running through your face mask. Thank God. In not a malicious way, that Damian Harris was unhealthy towards the end of that game. He might have rushed for 250 if he wouldn't have got injured in that game. But when you look at this team and you think about what Jeff just said, okay, a team came in. And look, let's not be fooled. The Buffalo Bills knew what the New England Patriots was going to do. They understood what type of game this was. And for them to come in and not be able to, from a physical standpoint. See, Greeny, here's the thing. You can fix scheme. You can fix fits. You can get guys in the right place. You can get safeties fitting in gaps. And a couple of those toss, especially on the big toss, the defensive end played it wrong. Later on, Espinoza played it well. And you see the outcome of that play. But this was lying down. 9:07 is a period in practice that we run, and it's about finding out if you're ready to practice or not.
I don't participate in 9:07.
I know you don't. I know you don't.
But you were making that point in the meeting. Yeah, sorry, Marcus, but you were making that point that teams don't do this.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, the Patriots have been known for taking advantage of these market inefficiencies. Like, before tight ends were big, they focused on tight ends. They always go for, like, mid-market defensive players who are smart but not superstars. Like, these are market inefficiencies. Right now, everyone's kind of shifting towards passing-heavy offenses, which makes the defenses smaller and faster. So the Patriots, you know what they do? All right, we're going to pound you in the face and find a way to win. But I do think that you guys are getting a little carried away because you're D-linemen and offensive linemen about how important these trenches are. All that running is fine and dandy. Let us have a good weather game where they put up 24 points in the first three quarters. We'll see what happens then. You have to stop running the ball at some point.
Real quick, Roger. One thing we haven't talked about, turnovers. The Patriots don't do it. When they do, it's the only time they ever give up points. That muff punt is the only touchdown they gave up last night, and that's been part of their formula, weather or no weather,
Foxy,
all year.
Foxy,
we have so much to say here.
Oh, go ahead.
We will come back to it. I promise. We will come back to this. We have plenty of time this morning to get deeply into this game because it was very significant. But I got other stuff to get to, including this. The Ravens are still atop their division. But what is up with Lamar Jackson lately? How concerned should their fans be? We're talking about them. And then we hope you're hungry this morning. We don't have waffles. We don't have oatmeal. We got pancakes, everybody. And Jeff is serving them up hot. Coming up next, Get Up right here on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Burger King, the Italian original chicken sandwich, now on 2 for $6.
Two right, one left. Lamar Jackson, shotgun snap, fakes the handoff, slings the left side, off the hand of Andrews. He was wide open on the right flat at the goal line. It's off his hand, incomplete, and the Steelers are going to win the football game.
All right, that finished the best moment of this NFL weekend, and it sets up this, a division, one of two, where every team is 500 or better. AFC North is packed. You see, the difference from the top to the bottom is just two games. Right now, the Ravens are FPI favorites. They've struggled over the past month as they've not scored over 20 points now in four straight games. And I'm going to ask this entire crew which team they think is actually the team in that division that is the best. But let me start with my former Raven over here. What's wrong there now? As you watch them, it appears they have no offensive plan. Their defense obviously is ravaged by injury.
Injuries are a problem, but I think the big problem right now is it's a Lamar-centric offense, and Lamar is not playing well. So the problem with Lamar was never his ability to read defenses. It was his inaccuracy. But now it seems like he's having trouble deciding on where the ball should go and how to react to the blitz. And if they can't get that offense together, even the defense, as injured as it's been, has been playing well recently. Right. So, yeah, I that's why I don't have much faith in the Ravens going forward.
There's a part of me that wants to push back on that a little. As I watch them, it seems to me their offensive game plan seems to be, Lamar, go out there and do something spectacular and hope someone gets open while you're running around. I don't see anything where he goes 1, 2, 3 and the ball comes out ever.
Yeah, that's the point I'm
making.
Is that
on him?
Part of it's on him and part of it's on the scheme. But I understand your point. Like, they're asking a lot from Lamar without giving him the answers to or giving him the opportunity to have the right answer.
Let me say this. It is now on him. Right? Like, you would say early on it was schematic. Hey, Greg Roman, you have to have an answer. This is four games in. You've been blitzed since week seven more than any other quarterback in the league, and your QBR is worse than the league. Let me tell you, I played with two Hall of Famers. One's in the Hall of Fame, one's going, and Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. We spoke about blitz pickup every week at nauseam. They wanted to know, hey, are we going to pick it up and try to block it? Are we going to throw hot? Are we going to roll out away from it? What's our plan? And you have to take ownership of it if you're the quarterback. Greg Roman ain't out on the field on Sundays. He's not out there taking shots. And the plan can't be scramble around and buy time and throw the ball deep. There has to be bang, bang plays made from the quarterback position. And I do put this on Lamar Jackson because it is at some point your responsibility. I don't care whatever else says. I remember Peyton Manning would have fights with coaches. They'd be like, oh, don't chase ghosts. And he would look at him and go, I'm not chasing ghosts. I'm out there. It's my job to make sure I protect myself. That's where Lamar needs to be.
The best conversations are always the ones that we didn't plan. So let's just live in this a minute. Marcus, let me come to you. Because it feels to me like what I'm hearing here is the Ravens' offense is bad, which we all acknowledge. And I feel like I'm hearing here it's kind of Lamar's fault. And my perception of it is they're asking him to do the impossible. Who's right?
Foxy's right. Let's simplify this.
Yeah.
You got to stop throwing damn interceptions. That's what it boiled down to. Look, this is a double-edged sword because it's no way in hell the Ravens are 8-4 without Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
And a lot of the reason for those four losses is because he's turning the football over. Mm-hmm. The game against Pittsburgh, listen, that was a one-point win. An interception took 3 points off the board. That's what it did. Lamar dropped back, threw the ball up to Mark Andrews. We saw the same thing happen last week. That was to the tune of 4 interceptions. I love Lamar Jackson. Said he was the best player in the NFL. He not right now. He's still the most important player to his football team. But another thing is, too, two things can be true. Attrition as well. Let's acknowledge that the Baltimore Ravens have been through a great level of attrition. And more importantly, a team that's based in the run game and you take all of their running backs away, you expect to see them fall off and struggle a little bit. But the bottom line is Lamar got to stop throwing damn interceptions.
Let me get Dan in quick before we go to the pancakes. What do you think here?
I'm going to do a Ryan Clark impression. Remember the old Superman movies with Christopher Reeve?
Sure.
Right? And the first one, he saves the world and everything. Then the second one, he voluntarily gives up his powers. And now that everybody's looking around, like, where's Superman? I think we're in the middle of Superman 2 right now with Lamar Jackson. And maybe he's going to come back at the end and save the day again. But right now, he's just kind of rolling around there with Lois Lane at Niagara Falls.
He's hanging out.
And just, you know, hey, you guys are on your own.
I did what I could.
After all of that, I still won't count him out.
Right,
I know
exactly.
It sounds crazy.
I mean, we
don't
remember
how
to count him out. But hold on. Right now, we don't have French toast. We don't have waffles. We got pancakes.
Do it.
Woo!
Set him down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw him out the club. Swagoo, throw him out the club. You see him? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh!
All right, nothing is more fun. We've seen a lot of great blocks.
Ooh, top of the pancakes. Top of the pancakes. You just saw the trenches.
Whoa.
One game's last night. Let me show you how they won them on Sunday
Let's
as well.
Go.
We're going to check out my man Zach Martin and Lael Collins right here. Watch this block down. Look right here. You see Martin? I mean, look right here. Watch the double team. That is taking him 5 yards and dumping him in the dirt. That is as physical a double team as you can get. And let me tell you what 95 is thinking right there. Somebody help me. Linebacker, take him off me. Do something to change that. How do you get hip to hip and take a man and just dump him that way? Hey, right here, that's game tape, right? Check that out, coach's tape. Show that thing. Swagoo's been on one of them before. Swagoo's been on one of them rides before. I'm just going to let you know. Hey, Gronkowski, two touchdowns. Everybody talks about this. Look at this nastiness. Watch him over on. Boom! Get some! That's a large man coming at you right here. I'm only giving him two pancakes because it's a little man, but how nasty is that? My favorite part is you see Gronk. He looks like he's all old when he's walking around. When he overarms and swims that and gets downhill, it doesn't get any better than that. Watch your Rob Gronkowski lay folks out. Folks, it ain't about touchdowns. It's the detail that is nasty by Gronk. Two pancakes for my man. And then right here, Quinn Miners, 77. Look at Ingram. He's going for a 20-yard ride. 20 yards. This is a thing. And look at him. At the end, the body slam. Give him some. And look, he gets two. He got two down, Swagoo. You see that? Look at the little body splash at the end. That's how you add insult to injury, baby. That's what I'm talking about, Miners. Oh, my God. Three pancakes. It don't get better. That might be the block of the year. Just puts it on him and finishes.
Jeff, do the little jump. Do the little jump again, Jeff.
That's what he gave him. Yes, sir.
All right, the pancakes have been served. Marcus will get his chance for revenge in our second hour this morning. As we continue, the Patriots have the best record in the AFC. The Chiefs are rolling. Is it a foregone conclusion they'll meet in the AFC title game? The answer is on the way. We're getting up with you. And we're
big win, they would have jumped. That's all last night. You saw it last night. Get with it. Get with it.
I'm too old.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
It's the most important week of the year for us at ESPN V-Week, our partnership with the V Foundation, highlighting the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate, and 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. All right, back on Get Up, back to the NFL. If you didn't stay up last night, what a crazy game. Bills, Patriots, the weather was the overwhelming factor in Buffalo. First quarter, Dominique Damian Harris gets loose and takes it to the house.
Yeah, they were pushing around all day, and the safety comes down a little aggressively outside, giving him the cutback lane, and he finishes.
They would go for a two-point conversion as well. They'd have an 8-0 lead. Then after a Patriot muffed punt, Bills in the red zone. How about the zip on this ball, Jack?
Laser! Looked like a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Man, that is – and that wind and that tight tight protection, that was a great job.
So it's 8-7. What you are now seeing is the only pass that Mac Jones threw in the first half of this game.
And it almost was turned over. That's Bill Belichick saying, we ain't doing that no more.
11-7 Patriots. Now fourth quarter, Bills trying to field goal. Mm. And now you see why there were not a lot of kicks last night. That's Tyler Bass. Over 2 minutes to go, it's 14-10 in favor of the Patriots. Josh Allen, look at him buying time. Look at the defense.
Yeah, they did a great job of not giving him a run lane so he could run up in the teeth of the defense and force him to make a tough throw.
Out of the two-minute warning, here's your last chance. If you're the Bills.
Yeah, they got all-out blitz, zero coverage. Miles Bryant. Incredibly smart play to fall off and break up that pass. It might have been a touchdown.
Patriots get the win. After the game, a couple of the Bills were asked if their defense was embarrassed. Listen.
I mean, what kind
of question? Boy, what are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
It's a question. The nation's going to be criticizing you.
All right. I think we gave up 7 points.
Yeah.
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. We'll remember that. I'll remember that.
All right, so they didn't like the question. In the meantime, good calls brought to you by Subway. And in a game severely impacted by the weather, the Patriots clearly adapted to the elements. They rushed it 46 times and threw it 3. That's the fewest in any NFL game since 1974. And all that resulted in them averaging nearly a full yard per play more than the Bills, who threw it more than they ran it. So it was the weirdest game you could ever possibly imagine. And I want to go big picture when I can here, but I feel like at the beginning of this hour, there's still so much to get to from this game. And you see the question on the screen is, who is the biggest threat to the Patriots? But Marcus, when we saw it, I'm trying to make up my mind how much of what we saw last night was just the weather. At the end of the day, I get it. They're a physical team, and Jeff is shaking his head at me. But they're never going to throw the ball 3 times in an NFL game if there aren't 40-mile-an-hour winds. Right, Marcus? What do we take away from last night about what it says about New England in the entire AFC?
Okay, so let me paint this picture for you since everybody talking about the damn weather, okay? Mm-hmm. Coming to this game, the New England Patriots and Mac Jones were number one in play action. You know what that means? That's a team that can do anything they want to do. We can just go back to last week. Can they throw the football? Go watch the film. See, here's the difference between everybody else. Me, Foxy, and Jeff Saturday, we watched the tape. We don't get emotional about it. We watch it. And, yeah, your two safeties can sit up there and they can be pissed off about the question that the reporter asked. You got ran on last night. Let me tell you something. Maybe they don't feel like that on the back end. Foxy can speak to this more than I can. But I know them front seven and them D-line are embarrassed this morning. I know that. I know that D-line coach is going to come into that meeting and he going to turn on film and he going to see 6-yard run. I'm not even talking about the long run by Damian Harris. He going to see 6-yard runs, 4-yard runs. He going to see third and ones. He going to see running backs breaking tackles, being their own blockers. So they don't have to be embarrassed. The film will embarrass them enough when they go back and review this game. The second part of this is this Bill Belichick we're talking about. Like they say, we gave up 14 points. Well, the Patriots gave up 10. And they dropped the interception in the game, if you watched it. So, yes, this is a really, really good football team. And like I said, the best team in the AFC. Because however you want to do it, you know the type of fighters I like when we watching boxing? what kind of fight you want it to be, bro? You want to slug it out because I got a strong chin? You want to be technical because I can tuck my chin and throw jabs? Whatever type of fight you want to have, the New England Patriots are willing to oblige, and most of the time, you are going to get snuffed before they do. That's what happened last night. But when a team line up and run the ball 40 times and you can't stop them, that's embarrassing.
They were averaging more than five yards a carry against defenses with more than eight men in the box. That's outrageous. But I do think that you guys are underselling how much the weather was a factor. Now, you two linemen getting all excited about all this bully ball foolishness. I agree with you. It was great. I like it, too, because that was what they needed in those circumstances. But let's see if we're in a different situation where they are down by 14 points at halftime. That running ain't going to work no more. So that's the question, I think. I don't know if this game is different in different weather conditions.
They were up 8-0 on the first drive, and they were putting the hammer down, bro. They
did
are
you
not
see,
scared.
Did you see?
They are not scared to let people score. They are not giving up points. They play great run offense and great scoring defense. That's who they are. They are not afraid of this kind of – and let me just tell you who flew home first class last night. Offensive line. Belichick was like, I'll get in the back of the plane. Hey, O-line, come up here. This is what we do.
Danny, go ahead.
He said he wasn't getting emotional. He's extremely emotional.
I didn't say that. He said that about me.
We actually almost organically brought ourselves back to the original question we intended to ask, which is, so what team does beat them? If we look at the AFC, which right now very much feels like the junior varsity in the NFL when you look over at Green Bay, Tampa, and Arizona. What is the team that does give this team problems that you can't just throw the ball three times against?
I mean, it's very exciting. The Patriots are playing well, but it's not invincible, right? I mean, like, you could see the Chiefs getting hot and doing. Last week, the Tennessee Titans ran for 270 yards against them with backups.
But
turned the ball over four times.
That's right.
Right? You play that game against New England and you pound the ball against them and you don't turn it over, then I think you're a threat to them. It can be done. It hasn't been because they've been doing such a good job of taking the ball away, and they don't give it
away. Who was Jeff pointing at?
Yeah, you see how they put that horseshoe on the very bottom of the screen?
I've been in yet.
Don't lie to yourself. Number one in turnover ratio and points off of turnovers, Indianapolis Colts. They will run that ball at you. That's the second hottest team in the AFC, Indianapolis Colts.
I say the Patriots aren't that good until I look at the rest of the AFC. I'm like, well, yeah, maybe it's the Pats, or is their past conference to win, because there's nobody out there that's incredibly scary, but I do think that you and Spears are suffering from a combination of recency bias and confirmation bias at the same time. You want it to be smash mouth, smash mouth, smash mouth. So you saw it, and now you're like, oh, we just smash the mouth, smash the smash, smash,
ask Dallas Cowboys if they wish they could play smash mouth again.
My breakfast is cold. Run the ball.
I don't 100% disagree. Obviously, hopefully, the Bills' offense would be better under better weather conditions. My issue is this, though. Say, bro, if you can't stop the run, that offense don't matter.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now. If you can't, because we saw the Indianapolis Colts do it to them as well. And let's not forget, I heard Monday Night Countdown, I heard Lewis Riddick them talk about it. Josh Allen has thrown seven interceptions in the last four games.
Yeah,
so it ain't like
true.
They came into this mug balling out of their
better
mind either.
Exactly. Right, right, right.
So the Patriots have a bye, then they get the Colts, then they get the Bills again. We'll see what happens. But hold on. I have to upset Marcus now. Let's talk about the Cowboys. Dallas snapped a two-game losing streak by beating the Saints on Thursday. They did it by intercepting Taysom Hill four times, their most picks in a game since 2010. That's where the Cowboys sit. Let's look around their division. Philadelphia, playing without Jalen Hurts, turning to Gardner Minshew, who just eviscerated the Jets 33-18. The Eagles are 12-0 all time against the Jets, but more importantly, the Eagles have won three out of four. And then there's the Washington football team, improving its winning streak to four games with a late field goal from 48 yards out. FPI gives them a 40% chance at the playoffs right now. That will feel very different if they win this weekend. Dallas still in control of the division, but they are headed to Washington on Sunday for the first of two matchups that remain between these two teams. And so, to my favorite Cowboy, Mr. Spears, I ask the question, are we potentially seeing the beginning of what would be the biggest disappointment that the Cowboys have had in this quarter century of disappointment if the Washington football team knocks them off this weekend and all of a sudden that division gets away?
Yeah, it would be a huge disappointment. I don't know about the biggest disappointment. Did you watch him last year?
Is it going to happen?
No, it's not going to happen. Listen, I got a lot of respect for what the Washington football team is playing like. Their defense is starting to look like the defense that we thought they would be early in the season. But go through the injury report and look at these players Dallas is getting back. See, every other team, we talk about what they don't have and the guys that haven't been available. I would charge everybody with going back and looking at Dallas, and they're getting healthy. Guess who's going to be back? Randy Gregory. Probably would have been around 11 and a half, 12 sacks by now. DeMarcus Lawrence showed up last week against the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, we know what Micah Parsons is. You got CeeDee and Amari coming back. Does that make a difference? I think so. Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, they all haven't been on the same offensive line for more than a two-game stretch this particular season. So, yes, the Washington football team is a threat. They playing well. But the Dallas Cowboys are a better football team that's getting healthy. I'm not worried about the Washington football team.
Do you want to hear a declarative statement? Do you want to hear a definitive statement? Do you want to hear it from the last person on the set you're expecting? Dan Graziano, what do you think of this game?
I don't think the Washington football team has any chance to win this game, and especially the division. Look, everything Marcus said is correct. Add in they're better rested, right? They played last Thursday.
Yeah.
There's one top-to-bottom really strong roster in the NFC East, and then what Washington's doing is neat, and what Philly's doing is neat, and I don't know what the Giants are doing, but the Cowboys are the class of that division, and I think they will show it over the next couple
neat
of weeks.
Neat is another way of saying cute, right?
Yes, it is.
A cute little team.
I don't want to offend anybody.
How cute's it going to be if they beat them on Sunday? Not so cute. What do you think, Chad?
It's a disaster. I mean, dumpster fire. You throw all the terms you could possibly throw at the Dallas Cowboys, because you want to talk about them shrinking up and getting real scared, lose to the Washington football team this week. Listen, this is a huge game, and I'm with Greeny here. This is the biggest game they've had in probably 20 years because of the expectations that they've had and the start of the season, and now you're watching them walk it back. By the way, if the Washington football team takes this game tight into the third quarter, you're going to watch these Cowboys get real scared. They better start fast and be hot, because this team's scared. They've had a 40 minute
you,
to 20 minute
you know I love you.
Time of possession.
I love you more than almost anybody at this network.
All right. Help
but
me out here.
You coming with Monday Dan energy right now.
Oh,
they've had playoff games. This is not the biggest game. And even if they lose this game, they'll still be in the lead of division with a chance to play Washington again.
We're
you're getting
talking,
carried away.
This is a team we were talking Super Bowl. Yeah.
No, it's not actually.
Yes, it is.
No, it was a team we were talking a few weeks ago. Preseason, we're talking about Washington's going to win the division. The pendulum on the Dallas
Cowboys. Who said
Cowboys
Washington was going to win the division?
Foxy, thank you.
Terrible.
Thank you. I'm glad I didn't have to say it. I'm glad I didn't have to say it, Foxy.
Am I moving the Jeff thing down? I have some Peyton Manning making fun of Jeff Saturday. You want to move it down so we can give it plenty of time? We'll save it for – trust me. You won't want to miss this week. Tell me, Bork, am I doing it here? What am I doing here? Do it here. Okay.
All right.
Let's do it here.
Let's do it.
Last night,
what happened?
Peyton Manning, watching how cold it was, talking about how his Colts offensive linemen handled the cold weather games. Listen.
Offensive linemen are not allowed to wear sleeves. You got to love it. I used to play up in Green Bay, Brett Favre, the offensive line. They were all sleeveless. My offensive line, one time, I remember I was watching them. They're kind of huddled over by the heaters. Jim Mora came out and said, "You're not allowed to wear sleeves." My lineman didn't like that very much. Needless to say, the Packers beat us that day. I keep Jeff Saturday humble since Dave Letterman gave Jeff Saturday a shout out. I'm trying to keep him humble talking about being cold in Green Bay. Sorry, Jeff.
He does that to you every week. Look at Jeff. Look at you in a fur coat. Come on.
Good.
Did you or did you not wear sleeves?
No, I'm not a sleeves guy. Absolutely. Listen, that's not – he loves the revisionist history, bro. He is all about his way of viewing. It's the Manning way or no way. That's why – listen, he's talking about us being cold. The Green Bay game. Go back and watch the film. My man Manning didn't play so good. I think the first snap of the game, he goes to throw it, and the ball comes out of his hand and fumbles on the ground. Let's leave easy throwing darts at people over here,
Manning. Have you been on the Mega Cash yet, Jeff?
How it changes. I know we like the dome, Jeff, and some ducks, but don't come at me like that, man.
Jeff, have you been on the Mega Cash? You done let him slide three, four times now.
We're taking the coat off, dog. We're taking the coat off. Don't talk about sleeves like that, man.
Marcus, did you wear sleeves in cold weather games?
You damn right I did. You damn right. I played football. I'm tough. I played football. I'm tough. I didn't mean to prove that I was tough.
By the way, we've got to get Jeff Saturday on the Manning cast. How in the world has Jeff Saturday not been on?
I just told you why. The history. Manning only wants it his way. He don't want truth on that show.
I'm starting the campaign right now. We need Saturday on Monday nights with Peyton and Eli. Meanwhile, as we continue, Bryce Young has started 13 games for Alabama. Dan Orlovsky thinks he sees something special in the young quarterback. You'll hear exactly what it is next. You're watching Get Up on a frigid morning on ESPN.
In the hat.
That is nice.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and it's time for Overreaction Tuesday. Here are some things that people may be saying, and Dan Graziano is going to tell us whether or not those things are an overreaction. If someone were to say, you know, after all the craziness of this season, the Chiefs are going to wind up the number one seed in the AFC, would that be an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. Look, I mean, I wrote the overreactions for yesterday. It was before the Patriots played, so I understand they're the strong favorite. But look, the Chiefs are playing great defense. They have the second longest winning streak right now. If Patrick Mahomes sort of snaps out of it one of these weeks and plays like otherworldly Patrick Mahomes that we're used to seeing, it's entirely possible this season ends, this regular season ends, and we are saying the Chiefs are the top team in the AFC.
All right, so that's one of last year's Super Bowl teams. Let's get to the other one. If someone were to say Tom Brady is going to win his 4th MVP this year, would that be an overreaction?
No, it's not an overreaction, mainly because someone has to. Right now, and I don't know who it is. Right now, I think his closest competition right now is a running back, Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts. And you know, no matter what Jeff Saturday says, if it's close between a running back and a quarterback, they're going to give this award to a quarterback. And so I think absolutely, that, look, he's played every game. He's playing at an incredibly high level. He's had 6 games where he threw 4 touchdown passes. Brady makes the strongest case right now.
I think Rodgers, it belongs in the conversation, too. They had a bye this week. He obviously missed the game. And there was the whole COVID thing, but I think he belongs in the conversation, but I agree with you. All right, one more. If someone were to say, it's all done, Bryce Young from Alabama is going to be the number one overall pick in the 23 NFL draft, would that be an overreaction?
Yes, that's an overreaction. I mean, there are plenty of NFL people who tell you they haven't even really fully dug in to this year's draft, the 2022 draft. So saying who's going to be the number one pick in 23 is an overreaction, no matter who you say. Look, he's obviously coming off a great game. Obviously, I'm not a quarterback evaluator. We'll find out how he's evaluated over the next year. But right now, yes, an overreaction.
Okay, fair enough. Someone who is a quarterback evaluator and a very good one is our buddy Dan Orlovsky, who was here with us yesterday, and he was watching Bryce Young's performance Saturday and said it reminds him of one of the all-time greats.
Bryce Young reminds me a lot of Aaron Rodgers. Just a flick of the wrist, the ability to, you know, make those throws from the pocket where his feet are a little bit scattered, yet accuracy and velocity, the awareness, just where everything, he's going so fast, but everything around him seems like it's going so slow. He will be the number one pick in the draft in 2 years, but he would be one this year.
I believe he would be number
one. Thank you.
Why are we coming out? What is with that face? WTF, why the face?
Did you hear him?
Yes, I heard him.
Yeah.
He didn't say he's Aaron Rodgers. He said he reminds you a little bit of Aaron Rodgers in some of the characteristics.
Greeny. I dunked one time in a pickup basketball game.
Yeah.
Do I remind you of Michael Jordan? Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We have to welcome, by the way, you now to the
I ran a commercial one time. Do I remind you of you?
A little bit. We now welcome you to the law offices of Greenberg and Tannenbaum and Associates. If Bryce Young was eligible in this year's draft, Would he be the number one pick?
He would be, and there would be some concerns. I was at the game Saturday. I went to Atlanta, and there's a lot of great things that he does. He has great arm strength. He has great accuracy. He's really smart, and he is tiny. And when we look at the recent quarterback screening, we look at guys like Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, they can't stay healthy in this level, and they're bigger than Bryce Young. So my concern would be is his size could be his limiting factor.
But Kyler Murray is going to be the pushback everyone will offer, right? Kyler Murray was, quote-unquote, too small, and he went number one, and he's been great.
Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson are a little bit thicker. When Bryce Young is small, he's short, and he's narrow. Now, that doesn't mean he can't get stronger. Russell Wilson's gotten stronger.
Rogers.
But at the quarterback position, you want them to look like Josh Allen. You want them to look like Justin Herbert. Kyle Murray's a great exception, and I'm not saying that Bryce Young won't be great because I saw a lot of great things, and but it's a concern.
Yeah, and the difference between Kyler Murray, the way that he can run with the ball in his hand, the things that he did last weekend are making him a little bit different. I will say this. I've seen Bryce Young in person. My daughter, Savannah, goes to Alabama. So been huge Bama fans this season, cheering him on. I've watched this guy progress. I think last week against the University of Georgia in the SEC championship game, you saw it kind of all come together for him. He started getting out of the pocket with his eyes downfield. There's still a lot of development to go because, to Mike's point, you're going to get hit in the NFL. Like, it's not like in college. I don't care how good a college defense is. When you hit NFL defenses, they find ways to put bodies on you. That's a lot to sustain. And, by the way, Kyler Murray missed three games again this season.
Yeah.
And you're always concerned as you get to the latter part of the season, will he be around?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no,
you're
terrible.
You're still reeling from that comparison.
I mean, there are so many quarterbacks in the history of this league that you can choose from, and he chose Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'm not saying – I watched the game. Bryce Young was incredible. He did some things that I could say, like, yeah, that looked like Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers has been Aaron Rodgers for more than a decade.
Right.
This man has been pretty good – or, no, been great for one college season, and the man went Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pick
actually,
another quarterback.
You made one very interesting point to me. I'll let you make it on the way out the door here when we were talking earlier about what this means about Mac Jones.
Yeah, so if we go back a year ago, there was a lot of unknown about Mac Jones. He beat out Bryce Young. Nick Saban's going to play the best player. So when we look at what Mac Jones has done this year as a rookie in the NFL, and to keep Bryce Young on the bench a year ago, it says a lot about his talent, and maybe the league as a whole under-evaluated that.
All right, we'll see. One way or another, Bryce Young, the overwhelming favorite for the Heisman, not eligible for the draft for at least another year. We'll continue in a moment talking about Bill Belichick. He did something we haven't seen in the sport in nearly 50 years, and he did it to perfection. It was a masterpiece, but what did it mean? We'll answer that question next.